what's on your wish list? What are some of the biggest life dreams you have? If you were looking at 2020 or even as you look at 2021, what's on your wish list? You know, that's what we've been doing this Christmas season in our Christmas series. We've called it Checking It Twice. And we're looking at some of the common lists that we have this time of year. Week one, we saw the to-do list, the craziness that Mary and Joseph had to do and how they had one very important thing. They needed to trust God. And then we saw the shopping list, and we saw that God had one very important thing on his shopping list, and that was you. And then last week, we looked at the infamous naughty and nice list, and we kind of redefined it a little bit to move away from thinking about it just as our behavior, but more about who or what we worship. And today, we continue this series, Checking It Twice, with the wish list. Because every one of us have wishes. We have dreams, and this is an appropriate thing to talk about this week of all weeks. Number one, because it's the end of the year and we're getting ready to approach 2021, and we always set goals and resolutions of what we want to do in the new year. So it's appropriate to talk about the wish list. Number two, it's appropriate because after the year we had, it's okay to wish and dream that things would be different in 2021. Nobody expected 2020 to go the way it did. And so as we're looking forward to 2021 on this last day, this last Sunday of the year, it's okay to dream a little bit. It's okay to have some wishes and some ways that we wish this upcoming year will be different than the year we've had this year. Look, we all have wishes. We all have dreams. We want the kid to come home, or we want the dream job or the dream girl. Every single one of us have dreams and wishes that we hope will come true. But if we kind of zoom out a little bit and we look at our dreams and we look at our wishes, there's really only two types of dreams that people have. Number one, you have sleep dreams, right? These are the images, the stories, the things that come to mind while you're deep in like that REM sleep. Like that deep sleep that you get to, that's incredible. You have wake up and you're like, whoa, where was I? Like when you have those deep sleeps, you have those deep dreams, that those are sleep dreams. But you also have dream dreams. I don't know of a better way to describe them other than dream dreams. These are your goals, your aspirations, the things that you want to see happen in your life. This week, as I was preparing for this message, I looked at my wife and I said, Bailey, have you ever had any dreams come true? And she looked at me real quickly and she said, no. And at first I was a little offended. I was like, well, excuse me, you got your dream husband. Like, right? This is a dream come true for you. And then she realized what I was talking about. And she realized that I was talking about goals and aspirations rather than sleep dreams. See, we all have dreams. We want the dream home, we want the dream vacation, the dream girl. We have lifelong dreams, and we tell each other to chase your dreams. We have dreams when we're asleep and dreams when we're awake. We have unsolicited dreams that happen subconsciously, and we have cultivated dreams that we think about and dwell on often. We have, I have a dream, or maybe for some of us, it's, I had a dream. But no matter who you are or where you are, every single one of us have dreams. We have wishes. The famous soccer player Cristiano Ronaldo once said that dreams are not what you see in your sleep, but dreams are what keep you from sleeping, that do not allow you to sleep. So I ask you, as we get ready to go into 2021, what are your dreams? What are you hoping comes true? What are you longing to see fulfilled in your future? As you know, we've been looking at the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus, and we have one more to look at today. And in fact, in this story, there's some dreamers. Let's read their story and see what they were dreaming and see how we can learn from their story and apply it to our dreams as well. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 25. At that time, around the time of Jesus' birth, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Look, as we dive into this story, we're going to see the power of what happens in our life and the lives of those around us when a dream is fulfilled. Because what good is a dream if it's never realized? At that point, it's just an empty hope. The writer of Proverbs in the Old Testament tells us that it is pleasant to see a dream come true. We have these dreams, and we want to see these dreams come true. We want to see them come to fruition. And when a dream comes true, it'll serve as both an encouragement to you, but it will also be a helpful tool to help you help people find and follow Jesus, which is what we're all about here at Cross Point Church. We want to help people find and follow Jesus, and the fulfillment of your dreams can actually make that possible. So as we look at this story, let's just pull out three questions that I think the story is asking us. Let's start with question number one. Number one, how big is your dream? Question number one, how big is your dream? Understand, Simeon had a dream. He had a dream that was specifically given to him by God. This was a God-sized dream. And his dream was that he would one day see the Messiah, the Savior, God's chosen rescuer of Israel. Look, this wasn't just any dream. This dream was specifically given by God, and it was a dream that he would see the Messiah, the rescuer of Israel. See, at this point in Israel's life, they had been enslaved, they had been exiled, all kinds of turmoil was all over their history, and they had been longing for God to send them a king, a rescuer, a Messiah that would make things right, that would free them from oppression and give them the freedom that they longed for. And so when Simeon is a young man, God promises to him, he gives this dream that says, one day you will see with your very own eyes the Messiah. This is a dream of all dreams for Simeon. I mean, this is incredible that he would get to see the Savior, but he's not the only dreamer in the temple. Let's keep reading a little bit, picking up in verse 36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So that's Anna. And we see here that both Simeon and Anna had lifelong dreams to see the Messiah. Simeon spent his time at the temple following God. Anna did the same. She spent her time at the temple praying and fasting. And they both had dreams. They both had hopes, wishes of seeing the Messiah with their own eyes. They were waiting expectantly for God to show up. That's a big dream. Something they waited their whole life for. So my question to us today is, what's your dream? Better yet, what's your God-sized dream? How big is your dream? Look, I'm not talking about the career dreams or the vacation dreams or the dream homes or the dream girls. I'm talking about your God-sized dream, a dream so big that God has put on your heart and in your mind that it could very well take your entire life before you see it fulfilled. Simeon and Anna waited years. Anna was in the temple for 84 years before she finally saw the Messiah. How big must your dream be if you're willing to wait and work your whole life towards seeing that dream come to completion? And I get it. I understand. We're not very good at waiting anymore. Like, we're an on-demand culture. We want what we want, when we want it, and we want it now, right? Like, I've been watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, and this show is perfect. Like, I love everything about The Mandalorian, but it has one fatal flaw. I have to wait a week in between episodes. Like, I want the whole season now. Like, just release it all at once so I can binge watch all 8 to 10 episodes and be happy. Like, just give it to me all at once. Like, this is the way. We don't like to wait. Well, we're not very good at waiting, but how big must your dream be for Simeon and Anna and for you if you're willing to wait your whole life to see it fulfilled? A few years ago, I came across a story that involved Henry Heimlich. Henry Heimlich, of course, is the inventor of the famous Heimlich maneuver that you pump on people's chest to help them get the blockage out of whatever is choking them. And what's interesting is Henry Heimlich never actually used that maneuver in real life until he was 96 years old. He'd spent his whole life teaching others how to do it and using dummies and people willing to fake choke so that he could show them how to do the maneuver. But Henry Heimlich had never actually done the Heimlich maneuver himself until he was 96 years old. He was in a senior living community, and a lady sat down next to him in the dining hall, and she starts eating her cheeseburger. And the next thing she knew, she couldn't breathe, and she was choking. And at 96 years old, Henry Heimlich steps up, does the Heimlich maneuver, and saves her life. Some interviewers, of course, wanted to hear about the story, and here's what Heimlich said in the interview. He said, "I felt that it was confirmation of what I had been doing throughout my whole life." Look, sometimes God gives you a dream. He gives you a wish. He gives you a vision of what could happen in the future, and it may not happen right away. It may take your entire life to see it fulfilled. So I ask you, is your dream big enough that you're willing to wait and sacrifice your whole life until you see it realized? So that's question number one, how big is your dream? Question number two, though, is how are you working towards your dream? How are you working towards your dream? Understand, both Simeon and Anna, I think, were willing to work for the dream that they had been given. Our story says that Simeon was righteous and devout. It also said that he was led by the Spirit, and he was led to the temple at the time that Mary and Joseph were there to present Jesus. That's obedience. Simeon was willing to be righteous and devout, and he was obedient to the Spirit so that he was able to meet Jesus at the temple. Anna also spent all of her time in the temple praying and fasting. Both of these people, both of these dreamers understood that while they waited for God to fulfill the dream and to make this dream fully realized, they had to work on themselves. It's what we call spiritual work. It's saying, God, I know this is going to happen in my future, but right now I'm going to work alongside you. I'm going to offer whatever little bit of measly help I can to help bring this dream to fulfillment. And what happens when we decide to work alongside God is it strips us from the entitlement that we're so easy to put on ourselves. It says, God, yeah, I know you're going to give this to me. I know this is a dream. I'm willing to work alongside you to make it happen. God, I'm not just sitting back and relaxing in the easy chair waiting for you to give me everything that I want. God, I know that you've given me this dream, and I know that you expect patience and obedience and faithfulness for me to see this dream come to fruition. I want to share a story with you that I've shared with many of you, because I want you to understand that I'm not trying to Bible thump you and works-based salvation. You know, this is salvation is a free gift from God. There's nothing we can do to earn it. But when God gives you a dream, he does expect you to pull your weight. So I want to share a story with you that I've shared with many of you, but I want to share it here because it illustrates, I think, what I'm trying to get at. A few years ago, 3.5 years ago, Bailey and I decided that we wanted to move to Massachusetts. And we were fresh out of college. We had no idea what we were doing, but we just felt this clear, concise call that God wanted us to move to New England to help influence the spiritual landscape of New England. So we got in contact with some people, and we flew out here to interview at a church. And we immediately fell in love. We flew out to Boston in the fall. Nothing like it. We loved the people. We loved the location. Everything about Massachusetts was great. That was a confirmation on the dream God had given us to help the spiritual aspect of things here in New England. And we start having a conversation with the leaders of the church, and you know, we kind of get down to the down and dirty, talking about finances and career stuff and how all that's going to play out. And we're like, all right, well, what can you pay us? Like, what are we responsible for? What are you responsible for? And they looked at us and they said, oh, we can't pay you anything. Excuse me? You want me to come do a job and you can't pay my wife or I anything? And it was a new church, and the finances were tight, and they were trying to get off the ground, and to pay us would have put them in a hole. And so if we were going to take this job to move to New England to do what God had put on our hearts, the dream that he had given us, we were going to have to raise all of our money. It was a 2-year commitment, and we had to raise $100,000. And at 23 years old, we were thinking, how in the world are we ever going to pull this off? How is this possible? But for some crazy reason, we said yes. And in 6 months, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God working in our lives, we were able to raise $100,000. And again, this is not to pat myself on the back or Bailey on the back and say, look how good we are. God did this. God gave us the money. God made a way for us to make that possible, to have our salary so that we could see this dream realized, to do ministry in New England. But I promise you this, I can tell you this, we put a lot of work into working alongside God to make that dream a reality. We went out to coffee and dinner with potential donors. We paid off all of our debts, lowered our expenses as much as possible, got completely out of debt. We would sit down, we would take our budget, and we would hand it to potential donors, and we'd say, here's where your money's going to go each month. Do you know how vulnerable and scary that is sometimes? Like, look, I'm asking you for $500 a month. By the way, here's where I'm going to spend your money. Like, yeah, you see that eating out budget? Like, that's kind of scary. Like, I'm not just going to go spend your money to eat out, but I do have to eat out. Like, people like to eat out. So this was scary for us. It took a lot of work. It took tons of prayer and patience. And I can tell you now, after seeing it happen, that there are stories where the hair would raise up on your arms of how God made this possible, of how God provided when we were sitting there biting our nails, hoping that the money would come in. God made it happen. But I think he made it happen because we showed him we were ready to receive the miracle. We were ready to see the dream. We were ready to work alongside him. He did overwhelmingly the most amount of work, but we offered what little bit we could. Look, I hope you see where I'm tracking. Don't just expect your dreams to happen. Don't just expect that things will fall into your lap. God desires our obedience, our patience, our faithfulness. He desires us coming alongside him to offer any little bit of measly help that we can. And this is how it works in everyday life as well. Like, you know, if there's something you want in life, you have to work to get it. But for some reason, when it comes to the dreams God has given us, we think, ah, God, just give it to me. You owe it to me. I'm going to sit back and relax till you give me what I want. But that's not how anything else works in life. Like, you want to get out of debt? You want to be debt-free? You got to cut up the credit card. You got to start saving money. You got to say no to things that you really want to say yes to, but you need to save that money so that you can pay off the debt. You want to be sober? You know that you got to rely on the help from people that have gone before you. You got to go to meetings and you got to remove the temptation. You want to buy a house? You got to save money. You got to go to work. You got to get the paycheck and you got to say no to some things again that you really want to say yes to. You want to be a doctor? Thank God that doesn't just happen and that doesn't just fall in your lap. You got to spend long nights at the library studying, going to class, doing all kinds of work until you finally get your medical license. You want to have a long, happy marriage? That doesn't just happen either. You got to work at it. You got to compromise. You got to serve. You got to love. You got to be patient with each other. You got to say no to some things that you really want to say no to, and you got to say yes to some other things that you don't want to say yes to. Anything that you want in life takes work. And it's the same with the God-given dreams that he's given us. Lazy faith will get you nowhere. Lazy faith leaves you entitled. Lazy faith just expects God to do all the work. And while God's going to do the majority of the work, God wants you to join him in doing the work as well. When it comes to your God-sized dream, it takes obedience, it takes faithfulness, and it takes patience. So I ask you again, how big is your dream? And how are you working to see that dream realized? One last question. Question number three, who will you praise when the dream is realized? Who will you praise when the dream is realized? Notice that both Simeon and Anna have a similar response when they meet Jesus. Both of their responses end in praise. Luke chapter 2, verse 29. Sovereign Lord, this is Simeon. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. We all love our kids, right? But we especially love to hear our kids praised. Simeon was praising Jesus in this moment. Let's look at Anna's response, verse 38. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Notice in their response to seeing their dream fulfilled, it was never about the work that they did. It wasn't about how long they waited. It was all about God's faithfulness and bringing Jesus to them. They realized that it was God who did the heavy lifting and making this dream a reality. And they realized that even though they had worked, at the end of the day, it was God who fulfilled the dream. It was God who gave the blessing so that they could meet Jesus. It was Jesus that fulfilled their dream. And it's Jesus, according to Scripture, that fulfills every good thing that you and I have. It's Jesus that will fulfill your dreams. It's Jesus that will give you success in life. It was Jesus who fulfilled Simeon and Anna's dream, and it'll be Jesus who fulfills your dream as well. And when he fulfills that dream, who are you going to celebrate? Who are you going to praise? Are you going to praise yourself and say, look at all the work I did? Or are you going to praise Jesus and say, no, look at all the work he did? In 2012 in Nebraska, there was a 19-year-old girl who thought it would be a good idea to rob a bank. And she went to the bank and she slid a note to the teller and said, I have a gun that is loaded, no ink, no locks, no calling the cops. You have 2 minutes. Give me all the money that you have on site. And sure enough, she got the money. She ran out the door, got in her stolen car, and she drove off into the sunset with a successful bank robbery and $6,000 cash in her car with her. Almost successful. She was so excited and so thrilled about what she had done that she had to brag about it and celebrate what she had done. So she did what any other 19-year-old might do today. She went to YouTube and she posted a video that said, Chick Bank Robber. And she boasted about her robbery. She said, I just stole a car. I robbed a bank. I'm going to pay off my financial aid. And tomorrow I'm going on a shopping spree. And she was wearing the same clothes from the bank robbery. And not long after that, the authorities showed up at her house, arrested her, and her bail was set at $300,000. Sometimes celebration can get you in trouble. But friends, I'm here to tell you, it is never wrong to celebrate what God has done. It is never wrong to celebrate when Jesus fulfills a dream. When you help lead somebody to Christ, celebrate. When you experience wholeness and health, celebrate. When you overcome addiction, celebrate. When you experience joy in a world of despair, celebrate. It is never, never wrong to celebrate when God does something amazing. Simeon and Anna praise God at the realization of their dream, and they experience peace because of it. And both of them can't help but tell everyone about what they had experienced. See, your dreams, when they're realized, and when you praise God because of them, they can end up helping people find and follow Jesus. So my prayer for us today, as we get ready to go into 2021, my prayer for us is that we don't settle. Don't settle for a worldly dream that says gain wealth and gain power. Settle for a bigger dream, a huge dream with Jesus at the center, because a dream without Jesus is no dream at all. Jesus is the greatest wish or dream any of us could ever have. So as we bring 2020 to a close, I'd encourage you today. I want you to walk through the attic of your life. See the discarded stuff that you've accumulated over the years, the golf clubs, the trophies, the pictures, the hobbies, the exercise equipment and the collectibles, the memorabilia, the outdated electronics and technology, the old entertainment options, the check stubs, the books, the tools, the knickknacks, you name it, the things that they'll pay to have hauled away someday if you're lucky, they'll pay penny on the dollars for it. You went long and hard after those things, and now you could care less about any of those accomplishments or things that you've gathered. Somehow, Simeon and Anna had become spiritual minimalists. They were one thing, one dream people. They wanted to see Jesus. They had learned to travel light and cut through the clutter of desire and distraction to the only thing that mattered. It wasn't about a career or a wealth or fame or success. For them, it was all about Jesus. Jesus was their dream. What are you chasing? Is it a decimal point? A bank account, a relaxing retirement, a sport, a career, a relationship, a dream home, significance, wealth, fame, power. What is it? What are you chasing? What's your dream? Now, I want to encourage you to create your wish list to go beyond those dreams, to go beyond this world. Set your sights beyond this world. Set Jesus as your dream, because I can promise you this. I can promise you this. Nothing in this world is worth chasing forever, except Jesus and his kingdom. Let me pray for you. God, as we bring this Christmas season to a close, we're overwhelmed by your love for us. And God, we know that you gave up heaven to come to earth so that we could live. God, I pray that everyone who hears this and watches this message, God, I pray that we would learn to see what you gave up, and that we would learn that following you is worth it, and that we would make you our only dream, that worshiping you is all that matters. God, I pray that you would give each of us a God-sized dream that has Jesus at the center of that dream, so that when something incredible happens, when you move in our lives and fulfill that dream, God, only you can get the glory. I pray that you would give us the patience and the endurance and the faithfulness to work alongside you while we try and bring that dream to realization with you. But God, ultimately, I pray that your name would be made famous through whatever dream we have, because Jesus is worth it. He's worth following to see our dreams complete. But even if we don't get to see those dreams fulfilled, we know that Jesus is still worth it, because Jesus is the best dream that any of us could ever have. We love you, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.